Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah praise all over the world. We worship the Lord. I want us to worship God for just a moment. We talked about one sound. Everybody say one sound. There is a kingdom sound. There is a kingdom sound. Everybody say that. There is a kingdom sound. Say it again. There is a kingdom sound. And I want you to understand this, that there is always a sound that precedes a move of God. Everybody say that. There's always a sound that precedes the move of God. Whenever you will find deliverance, wherever you will find healing, wherever you find a move of God, it is always associated with a sound. I want us to take just maybe 30 seconds and we're gonna sing this song. We're gonna raise it as an offering to the Lord. But I want us to take about maybe just 30 seconds, if you will. Brother, I just want you to minister on that guitar. I want you to raise your hands in His presence and let's just worship God all over this room. Come on, everybody, let's worship God all over this room. Hallelujah.
You have won it all. Talk, everyone. Hallelujah. Welcome to Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries. I am your brother in Yah. I am the Obadiah-U, a humble servant of Yah. Good morning. Rise and shine. Today is the 14th day of January 2014. It is also the 14th day of Shabbat, 5774, in the name and in the year of our Lord, according to his calendar. Hallelujah. Good morning to each and every one of you. You are here by divine appointment to receive a teaching about the soul tie. What is a soul tie? How would it prevent you from reaching your destiny in the kingdom of Yah? And what can you do to eliminate your soul ties? We know it's going to be a lot of consecration, a lot of deliverance. But what are the steps needed and necessary? These are the things that are not taught in the sanctuary that needs to be taught. And it will be brought forth unto you this morning. Hallelujah. We are also going to open up the lines for about an hour because some of you want to know more information and you have questions and concerns. That's why you are here this morning about the soul tie. Hallelujah. We just got through listening to William Murphy this morning because you have the victory. You have the victory in him. And I'm talking about him, the true and living Father of all creation, of all living things. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven. So I'm excited. Just a couple of announcements. First of all, I'd like to thank each and every one of you that have prayed for your brother. On last night, I was I went through a spiritual attack on someone else's prayer line. The enemy was just in there just waiting, but I already have peeped it out. Hallelujah, and I was able to, we were able in the spirit realm, collectively, we were able to denounce that spirit. Hallelujah. So the Father has already given us the victory. We are already victorious. So it ain't no sense for us to be talking to no demons. You just need to get up out of here, and that is it. So I just thank the Father for that. Hallelujah. So thank you so much for your prayers, for your words of encouraging words, and also for just you being who you are. So I salute you and I thank the Father so much for you. But that's not going to stop me from continuing to preach the truth. I'm still going to do that until I leave this planet. Hallelujah. Couple of more of announcements. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I will be bringing forth a word about the reprobate mind. There are people who are operating in the church or in the congregation who are still having a reprobate mind. We're going to look at what characteristics, and it's listed all there in Romans chapter 1 and other scripture as well. How is a person turned over to a reprobate mind? Can you pray and lay hands on a person with a reprobate mind? I'm telling you, the answer might probably shock you. Also, how does the Father deal with someone who has the reprobate mind? And furthermore, can that person inherit the kingdom if they turned over to a reprobate mind? Okay, because some people still think that they can. One of the symptoms of a person with a reprobate mind is they will fight you tooth and nail about the truth. They don't want to receive the truth that comes from the word. So that tells you right there, that's a person who's operating with a reprobate mind. So that teaching is going to be on tomorrow. If we don't finish with the teaching about the soul tie, part two will be on tomorrow, and then we will push the reprobate mind teaching on to Thursday morning. Okay, so please just continue to keep your brother lifted up in prayer. We're trying to bring forth these teachings so that you will be aware and also understand what is going on in the spirit realm. Okay, so that will be on tomorrow if Yah is willing. Hallelujah. On Thursday, I will be on another teleconference line with Prophet Hazel Freeman from New York. She is from Brooklyn, New York. And what is going on with that is that I usually bring forth a word there. It will be on Thursday, January the 16th, 2014. It's going to start at, she pushed up the particular time. It is now at 9 o'clock. Hallelujah. So it is at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. So the name of that ministry is the Threshing Floor Prayer Line. So we will be on there and we will hear what thus said the Lord at that particular time. That will be on Thursday at 9 o'clock p.m. The telephone number to listen in is area code 712-432-0075. That is 712-432-0075 is the number. The access code for that particular conference is 801-599. And then hit the pound sign. 801-599 is the access code. So I will be on that line on Thursday evening at 9 o'clock, if the Father is willing. Okay. Also, wow. Those of you who are in the Atlanta, Georgia area and the surrounding area, and people are coming from all over the country, we are having our first annual Kingdom Harvest Prayer Revival, the Firestarter Revival. It's going to be right here at the Kingdom Harvest. The address is 312 South Tennessee Street. That is in Cartersville, Georgia, 30120. Please contact us if you will. You can email me at talkteachtestify@gmail.com for hotel reservations. If you are coming from afar, we can assist you with that so that you can get in and rejoice unto the Father. And it's a two-day revival. It is January the 25th and 26th. I will be bringing forth the Hebraic teachings. Hallelujah. That will be on the Shabbat. That will be Saturday morning. And that will start at approximately 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to start off with that. Then we're going to have a short break and have lunch. And then we're going to shift into a prayer revival. It's going to start at 3 o'clock. And then we're just going to shift right on into the presence of Yah. We're praying for a Pentecostal apostolic move to happen in this building. So your brother is, you know, being consecrated in the Father, getting ready and set for this revival. We're looking for big things. There are people coming from Florida. Hallelujah. One of my spiritual daughters, I love her so much. She's going to be coming all the way from Orlando, Florida. There are people coming from Tampa. My spiritual mother will be in the house, Apostle Tina Edwards from New Dimensions International Ministries in Memphis, Tennessee. She's going to be coming in. I just got through talking to my younger brother, Apostle Mark Kendrick from Divine Believers of Faith in College Park, Georgia. Him and his congregation is coming on Sunday evening. He's going to be delivering a word on that day. Apostle William Kelly, he's looking for a Azusa Street revival move to take place in this building. He's coming all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina and Gastonia. So him and his congregation is coming. Hallelujah. So we invite you here. Please, if you need to speak with us for more information, please contact us here at the Kingdom Harvest. The number is area code 470-315-4749. Hallelujah. 470-315-4749. Please join us. We have just a week and a half away from this powerful move of Yah. That's what I'm expecting. I'm speaking into the atmosphere, and it shall be so. Hallelujah. People will be saved, delivered, healed, and anything else that they want out of the glory of Yah is going to happen during that weekend. I'm speaking that into the atmosphere now. Hallelujah. Let's go into a quick word of prayer because we want people who are on the line this morning. I see a lot of people from Florida this morning that's on the line, people from South Carolina, also people, hallelujah, that are in the on the West Coast. A couple of people are overseas. A dear sister of mine is listening now from Germany. Hallelujah. Good morning unto you. And I'm telling you, I am very excited to bring forth the word unto you on this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Yahusha for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now, Lord, for this word, Lord. Lord, we thank you right now, and we praise you and we magnify you because you are our shepherd. We shall not lack. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who have soul ties around them this morning, that they will be broke, but that the blood of Yahusha, it would destroy the yoke. And Heavenly Father, we bind it up and we cast it into the lake of fire, never to return. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power that is bestowed inside of us by the Holy Ghost, so that we will speak manifestation of your righteousness and your truth into the atmosphere, that we shift this atmosphere. Anyone that's on this line that needs to be healed from a soul tie, they will be broken from it. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that they will be healed from depression, that they will be healed from poverty, that they will be healed from red and white blood cells, that they will be healed, that they will be healed from any kind of aneurysms, that they will be healed from any type of head injuries, any type of ankle and foot swellings. I rebuke it now in the name of Yahusha. Heavenly Father, I thank you that they will be healed in your word by your stripes. They are healed. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that those people who are suffering from being rejected by the world, for those who have been going through persecution, has been going through trials and tribulations, that they glory in their tribulations. That, Heavenly Father, that is a warning sign to let them know that, Lord, that you are in their lives. And Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, we exalt your holy name. That, Heavenly Father, this word, that as you place your hand over my mouth, they will hear the righteousness that comes out of my frequency, Lord, that comes from you. Heavenly Father, they are saved. They will be sanctified. They will be delivered on this day forth. All of this I do ask and pray in the name of Yahusha. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. My dear daughter Nancy out in California, good morning unto you. I know you had to wake up early. It's about 6:30 out in California as you listen to your spiritual dad this morning. I love you. Thank you so much for waking up to listen unto the word of Yah on this morning. Now, if you have any questions or concerns after the teaching, you may press 1 on your telephone keypad. I would love to hear from you this morning. And remember, we're going to do things in decency and in order. Okay, because that's how the Father wants it. You know, that is what we must practice, and that is the standard that we must hold. So if you have questions, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad. Even if you have any concerns or anything that you would like to add, hallelujah. If you're being led by the Spirit of Yah, you may press 1. Okay, anyone that is on the internet that's listening in, you can call in at area code 347 884-8468. You can come on in, hallelujah, and listen in. One of my dear disciples is going to listen to us later in the archives. She is a seer of Yah, Nicole Moyd. Good morning unto you. Love you. She is in New York City. Hallelujah. Alrighty. The scripture reading that we're going to start from this morning, it's going to be from the book of Samuel Aleph, which is 1 Samuel. Chapter number 18 is where we're going to begin on this morning. May the Lord have a blessing upon the reading, hearer, and doer of his word. Let's talk about the soul ties for a minute. I've been doing a lot of studying on it. And perhaps you probably dream about or you long for someone who you was never able to be released from your spirit. And these soul ties, it could be connected unto you for years. What is a soul tie? Well, a soul tie is You know, when souls, it's self-explanatory. When two souls are connected and they intertwine, guess what? You pick up their energies and they pick up your energies. Okay? One of the most common soul ties that we need to be very aware of is the sexual soul tie. Now, we're keeping it real this morning, amen, and we are adults. Okay, so when you know an individual, and when I say know, I'm meaning yada. Yada means to be intertwined intimately with someone. This is why we must flee from fornication, because as you're going around from person to person, you're carrying their spirits. You're being attached to whatever generational curses or whatever that they might have. Okay, we're going to read it in the Word. I mean, we don't never see the word soul tie in the scripture, but we are going to see a soul tie in 1 Samuel chapter 18. So watch this. In the sexual soul tie, like I stated, the energies, the sweating out of the pores, and I'm just keeping it real this morning, is going into one person and you know, it's going into that person and it's going into another. Also, what's happening, and I might sound scientific this morning, but I have to rightly divide the word of truth this morning. The thing about a sexual soul tie is that when you share your intimate energy with that person, like I said, you're intertwining your, it's called the aureal energy or the aura. You're sharing that energy with that other person. Now, these powerful connections, regardless of how insignificant that you think that they are, what they do is that, watch this, it leaves spiritual debris. It leaves spiritual residue, particularly within people who do not practice any type of cleansing. And I'm talking about spiritually, emotionally, or likewise. The more that you interact intimately with someone, the deeper the connection becomes, and the more of their aura is intertwined with yours. All right, let me repeat this one more time. The more you interact intimately, yada, with someone, the deeper the connection becomes, and the more of their aura is intertwined with yours. You're probably saying, why am I doing this? Why am I? Yep, that's why, because you have picked up their connection. You have picked up their aura. This is how important and this is how severe a soul tie really is. Imagine, for just one more moment, because we've done this. I was one of these beings who have experienced a sexual soul tie. Just being open, just being, hallelujah, transparent this morning. Here it was, as a 10-year-old young boy, young man, I was sexually molested by my 16-year-old babysitter. Okay? So with that, each time that she did that with me, it created a soul tie. I picked up, my father, thank you this morning. I picked up a lot of perversion, a lot of sexual perversion I picked up from her. Over time, I started to be attracted to older women. I was also, you know, thinking that sex was, I thought that that was love. I did this with no type of feeling whatsoever. With the babysitter choosing me to be her victim, over time, I did not approach women. Women approached me. Okay? And I did whatever they wanted. Why? Because of the soul tie connection that I had with that particular babysitter. It was never dealt with. I hid it. I never presented it to my mother, any of my parental, people that was over my life. And once you hide this, it grows. It starts to manifest more into your spirit. This is how important it is for you to identify what the soul tie is. When I had to be delivered, I had to identify where the soul tie came from. We're going to get into how to eliminate those soul ties. But you could see that when you are confused, when you have a confused aura, because now you picked up somebody else's. And now, let's say, for instance, you didn't sleep around with nobody, but you picked it up from somebody with multiple people, with multiple energies. What that person may not realize is that others can feel that energy, and it will repel the positive energy. And what it does, it attracts more of the negative energy. You see? So this is why it's very important, and I'm just touching just for a moment about the sexual soul ties, and then we're going to get deeper to it in just a moment. But I'm just giving you an example as to why we got to discuss this. We see a lot of this in the congregation today, a lot of soul ties. It could come from relationships, and I'm talking about close relationships. It could come from making promises and commitments to somebody. All of these are soul ties. And some of you may be right now currently in an unhealthy relationship, and you know full grown well that you need to be out of it. There are some people on this line this morning. They're trying to leave that situation, or they're trying to be delivered from this shacking up or from this relationship with an unhealthy relationship, but they end up returning back to it. Maybe you might be in an intimate relationship with someone, and although you know it's wrong and you still want to please y'all, you simply cannot resist the desire to stay involved with them. Or perhaps you might be tormented with thoughts about somebody that's in your mind. If this is the case, you have a soul tie. A soul tie, this is a very short definition. A soul tie is an emotional connection or a bond with another that unites you with them. A soul tie is an emotional connection. Because it's emotional. Anything that's emotional is not of Yah. So it is an emotional connection or a bond with another that unites you with that. Okay. The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh. Is nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H, or you can spell it N-A-P-H-A-S-H, nephesh. Now, when you hear nephesh, at the end of that, you see the S and the H. So when you see an H at the end, it's normally making that particular, if it ends in S-H, it's a female component. So it lets us know that that is more of an internal type of thing. The soul, the breathing substance of your being, the innermost being of who you are. It is the innermost being of who you are, is your soul. The world have it, you know, they always talk about the mind, body, and soul. Why is soul last? No, the soul needs to be said first. It's the soul, mind, and body. The soul tie. Let's talk a little bit more about this soul tie. The soul tie. They are not necessarily bad. You want to make sure that you have healthy soul ties. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, because we want the word. Amen. We want the word to be connected. It says, and it came to pass that when he made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the nephesh of Jonathan or Yahuchanan was knitted with the soul, with the nephesh of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own nephesh. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. That Jonathan and David made in covenant because he loved him as his own nephesh. Okay, y'all see what's happening here? Here it is. Now, homosexuals would take this word out of context. Oh, you got two men. They had a, you know, they had a connection right there. You know, Jonathan came on to David. The devil is a lie. That's from the pits of hell. They had a positive soul tie. Why? Because David was the heir apparent to the kingdom of... y'all go catch this morning. He was the heir apparent to the kingdom of Yashariel, of Israel. Jonathan could not possibly be it because of the anointing over David's life to be the king. Jonathan was the heir apparent, supposedly. Besides, he was Saul's son. But the covenant that was made that day, they intertwined in the spirit realm, not in the flesh. A lot of homosexuals, they always say, well, they intertwine, so it's okay. No, homosexuality, once more, is an abomination. Okay? So they intertwined in the spirit realm. They made a covenant with one another. They had a what? A blood covenant. They cut each other's skin and they had a blood covenant. Of course, we're not supposed to do that nowadays because we're covered by another blood covenant, the ultimate one, the blood of the Lamb. But that's what they did then. He said he loved him as his own nephesh, as his own soul. Guess what, people? We are also to have positive soul ties. That's what we do, right, when we're in the congregation. They're supposed to be healthy, spiritual, connected with the Most High, soul ties. Psalms 133, David is singing. He says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to what? Dwell together in unity, to have a soul tie, being connected as one body, as one organism, as one specimen. Guess what? When you get up in the morning and you go to the bathroom, guess what? Your hands, your feet, everything goes with you. Everything is connected. So as the body of believers, we must be under what? On one accord, under one Lord, one faith, one baptism. This is the type of healthy soul ties that's needed. So whenever you see any type of bickering or any type of rebellion or anything of that nature that's trying to stir up in the congregation, it has to cease. Because that person is trying to bring something negative. They still might have a soul tie connected unto them. You see a lot of people attacking a lot of church leaders because there's a negative soul tie connected to them because they had a bad experience with a previous leader. A leader might have molested them. And now guess what? They're only used to having a leader molester them because of that soul tie. We sing a lot of that. Okay, so that has to cease. Okay. Amen. Let's go ahead and continue. Your soul, your nephesh, is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. It is your inner life. Okay? Now watch this. The Heavenly Father, he created for us to have positive soul ties. Okay, let's go from the beginning. Okay, let's go to Bereshit. Let's go to Genesis. And I'll just read it for you. I'll just go over with you. Genesis chapter number 4. There's a soul tie that's happening between Adam and Eve, or Sheva. It says, and Adam knew Sheva, his wife, and she conceived. Okay, guess what? I mean, of course, he already knew her. You know, he said, this is the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. But he had an intimate relationship with Eve. He went in unto her. Remember, we were talking about the sexual soul ties. This is it. Okay? So they were connected that way. They became one. The Messiah. Let's talk about what he has to say about the soul tie, because he spoke on it. It might not say soul tie, but he spoke about the soul tie. In Mattiyahu, chapter 18. Glory unto Yah. Mattiyahu, the gospel according to Mattiyahu or Matthew, chapter 18, verse 19. Most of you, you know this scripture. Verse 19 and 20. The word of Yah said this. He said that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Abba, which is in heaven. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. I almost went to a preach this morning. In the midst of them. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this is church. You don't need 5,000 people to have church. You don't need, so much a church building. You can use the street. You can use your home. When two or three are gathered in my name, we can have a telephone conversation. Click over. Let's call somebody else. The two represents the covenant. It's a soul tie that's happening. You need another person to have a soul tie, positive or negative. The third person is the witness that comes in. That's in the Levitical law. If you go back and you read the Levitical law or the Torah. So here it is, the Messiah, the word of Yah, is preaching from the Torah right here. He will be in the midst of us. That's why we have, people call it church, but that's why we have congregational services. Because he is in the midst. We're looking for expectation from something from the Father. This particular soul tie is very healthy. Because this is something that the Father wants for our lives, for us to come together in unity. When two or more come together in a good soul tie, in a healthy soul tie, the power, the dunamis power of Yah, it intensifies the atmosphere. You got to catch this morning. When we are rejoicing, when we're speaking in tongues, when we're connected as one with the Father, when the Ahava, when the love of Yah is in the atmosphere, his power intensifies us. Have you ever took your dog out for a walk? And when you just wanted to stop for one moment, you might want to retrieve some water or something, and you have to tie, Holy Ghost, you have to tie that particular dog, you tie him up to a gate or to a tree. Now, why catch the revelation? The dog can't go anywhere. I'm sure that the dog wanted to roam around and get into the green pastures and in the grass. He desires to. He wished that he can go. But the fact is that soul tie, that chain is secure and it kept him bounded. He or she, rather. Think about your own life. And let's ask the question this morning. What is keeping you bounded from getting into the deeps of the Father? What are you tied up to in your soul that you can't possibly get freed from? I'm trying to deliver somebody this morning, including myself. Who are you still emotionally connected to because of wrong soul ties? You want to be free. You desire this. You wish that you could do it, but you feel chained because you have made a commitment, or because you said that you was going to do this with somebody, or because if I leave them that I'm going to suffer. You're already suffering. These chains will be broken and destroyed this morning. Hallelujah. I'm speaking this in the atmosphere this morning. Soul ties are going to be broken. and destroyed this morning. We can't just break them because it might have a possibility of binding back up. No, no, no. We're going to destroy them this morning. Demonic spirits will cause you to have ungodly soul ties. Okay. Let's look in the word. Okay. When you go to the scriptures about Ahab and Jezebel. Okay. Now he receives the warning, and I'm talking about King Ahab, from Eliyahu or Elijah. And the Nevi, remember we was talking about that, the prophet, here it is, he tells him not to marry Jezebel. He tells him the consequences that's going to happen. Now he's operating as a seer or a raha. He lets him know, if you marry her, this is going to be your demise. Here it is, you have Jezebel. Jezebel, if you read the scriptures and study them well, Jezebel was spoiled by her daddy. She was able to have her way, whatever she wanted to do. Catch the revelation. You have some people in the congregation, the pastor is letting particular Jezebelic spirits get to do whatever they want to do because they pay their little tithes and their little offerings and they think that they can roam and do, you know, anything positive or negative that gives them the right to do that. That's wrong. Jezebel. First of all, King Ahab, he married Jezebel. Why? Because he was afraid that other nations. He did it for public relation, from a public relation perspective. He was warned not to have a soul tie with idolatry, because that's what she brought. She brought her idols and everything else with her. She brought her, hallelujah, her prophets and all of that. And when somebody is connected with a Jezebelic spirit, you don't no longer have control of yourself. You know, when you read the scriptures, Jezebel was running, she was really running the kingdom of Yashariel. Yeah, King Ahab was a great warrior when it came to battle. But when it came to personal relations, he had no control. He was a weak vessel. We see a lot of that with men today. Some of the men, I'm speaking some of them are weak-minded. And a Jezebelic spirit can have that soul tie and run them over. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, so that's another example of the soul tie. When two souls or more are together in the spiritual realm, that's that soul tie. Some people, and let's talk about these spirits for a minute, because there are some spirits in churches and congregations don't teach you about the incubus and the succubus spirits. Let's touch on that for one moment. The incubus spirit is a demonic spirit. It comes from the Latin verb of incubu, I-N-C-U-B-O, incubu. So that's incubus. Incubus is I-N-C-U-B-U-S. It means to lie upon. So the incubus spirit is a male demonic form. And this particular spirit, this is the type that enters in, and he only enters in with sleepers. Now, I'm talking about you might be sleeping in your bed, or you might be sleeping in the spiritual realm. Because there's some people walking around asleep. And it comes especially upon the women. And it tries to have intercourse with them. Always pray before you lie down to sleep so that your soul will be able to be protected and also be able to know how to war in your sleep. Ask the Father to teach you how to war, because guess what? While your body is in a subconscious state, your spirit is still operating. It's still running. The Father might bring you up in heavenly places. You might be somewhere in another country. And I'm not trying to promote any type of astral projection. You might be translating somewhere with the Father. So that's the incubus. The succubus spirit is its female counterpart. And it is in the female form, and it tries to, it's a female demonic supernatural entity, and it tries to seduce men. Of course, once again, through sexual perversion. Someone who's carrying a succubus spirit might be a woman who, amen, might be an enchantress. A male that might carry an incubus spirit might be a man who might be, hallelujah, he might be, you know, he's very charming. Watch this. The charmer, when he blows his flute and that snake comes out of that basket, are y'all catching the revelation here? That's what charmers do. That's an enchanter. Now, there are some legends as well that says that the incubus spirit is bisexual. Okay, so I'm just letting you know just for a moment, because a lot of people don't do these studies. Please research the incubus and the succubus spirit. I don't want to stay on too much about the sexual soul tie, but we're going to get into it right now. What happens when you have a negative soul tie? Well, you get depression. Oh, wow. I was just speaking with someone this morning. They was telling me that they were going up under, you know, depression, and they didn't feel well because they are in a very in a very unhealthy soul tie with someone. Depression can come out of that. Fear can come out of a negative soul tie. Anxiety is another one. A lot of worrying. Panic. Do you know that a negative soul tie would drive you even into a mental illness? Guess what? Once you start to engage into these negative emotions, it starts to deteriorate your body. Only thing you have to see, the soul tie, it infects the soul. Then guess what? Then it presents that negative seed in your mind. And then once that's in your mind, then guess what? Then your body starts to react what's planted in your mind. Your body starts to move according to the mind. That's why we got to put on the mind of the Messiah, right? So when it starts to affect you mentally and spiritually, then it starts to affect you physically. Diseases come upon you like arthritis and heart disease, high blood pressure. Now watch this. You can have a negative soul tie with movie stars. Did you know that? And I know demonically, you know, And I know most of you on this line know, when you watch a movie, you get a lot of subliminal messages. Okay, and we have to also teach our children to stay away from particular rap videos. And people don't want to watch them because they, I don't want to engage. No, I'm the type, I need to hear and see what's going on with the youth. I need to see, you got to study the enemy. People always tell you, oh, stay away. No, you need to study the enemy. If you know that you are filled with the Holy Ghost and you have the power, you need to study your enemy. How are you going to attack the enemy if you don't study the enemy? You have to study. So in entertainment, people are caught up into movie stars and, wow, he looks good. Wow, look at him. Oh, wow, she looking good. Wow, Beyonce. And then we all know what's going on with that. It develops a soul tie. Now you got the pictures all, all in your computer. You got their pictures. You got, their music. And I remember one woman in particular. She had a demon upon her with an addiction to drugs and alcohol. She also had a problem with men and with love because of how her first boyfriend, how that relationship went about. Now, there was something, as we went to praying, there was something we was able to see. There was something, a picture of somebody that is in your bedroom or something that's keeping you bound up. Yep, she had a picture of Marilyn Monroe at the head of her bed. She had the same demonic spirits that Marilyn Monroe had. Y'all catching this? She, remember, Marilyn Monroe was into drugs, into alcohol, and she had problems with men. Watch this. The tongues that you speak, and I'm not talking about you in particular. I'm talking about some people. A lot of people try to emulate their pastor's tongues. You see a lot of preachers. A lot of preachers today. They become illegal understudies of the high-profile preachers that's on television. They try to sound like them, preach like them. You know what I'm talking about. So that's what happens. They're picking up that soul tie of that individual. Oh, please be careful who is your spiritual parents, because you have a soul tie with that particular male or female. So be careful who is your covering. Be careful who you're receiving your food from, your spiritual manna, because you are what you eat. There's nothing that I can't feed you if I haven't tasted it myself. That's just how I do things in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Let's look at these soul ties. Close relationships. The soul ties with your friends. That's why when you are walking more with the Father, they start to drop off. The Holy Ghost is eliminating the soul ties with your friends. When you spend a lot of time with somebody, you're forming a bond with them. Did you know the most severe type of bond that you could do with somebody is eating with someone? Because there's an intimacy that's taking place while you're eating with someone. Did you know that? But we thank the Father, you can pray over your food. You can bless your food. Whenever you're eating and traveling and walking and talking and working with this individual, the connection strengthens all of a sudden. Some of you might have soul ties with your coworkers, with your family members, with your children, with your classmates from school. Remember, Jonathan and David, we read in the scripture, there was a perfect example of a Yah-designed soul tie. In this type of kinship, the power of Yah, I said it earlier, it intensifies. It's the same thing that's true for a negative soul tie. When you have a negative soul tie, it opens up a door for the enemy to work in you, and that his evil power is intensified. So, you know, if you're operating in a positive soul tie, the spirit of Yah, it intensifies. But when it's negative, the enemy, his power is intensifying in you. Just a case in point. You are the only one that allows the enemy to come in. People are always trying to give the enemy some type of glory, like, oh, he's attacking me again, and he's doing, cut it out. You allow him to do it. You have power and authority to draw nigh to Yah and resist him, and he shall what? Flee from you. You don't have to run from him. He will flee from you. Hallelujah. Close relationships. Be careful who you are connected to, especially in this season. If you try to idolize somebody, oh, TV know what they're doing. That's why they put American, what, idol. Because these kids try to idolize these people that Hollywood has created to manipulate you. Hollywood is, you know, operating in the power of witchcraft. Please believe that. Oh, my dear daughter, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. We're going to talk about that. Hallelujah. I guess I'll shift to the next. Soul tie. This is the one that is very common after the close relationships, the sexual relations. I believe it's in Ephesians chapter number 5. You can go to it if you like. You can read it. Ephesians 5, verse 31. It tells you, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. That's what's happening when you have sexual relations. You become one. So, yeah, if you slept with multiple people, you done married multiple times. But we just thank the Father for the cleansing of the blood. You become a new creature. You're a virgin once more. And now you can get it right. All the soul ties of the previous, when you're going through that purging, and when you're going through that deliverance process, that long suffering, it comes off of you. This godly, this Yah type of soul tie between husband and wife that the Father intended for you to have, it is unbreakable by man. The only one that can break it up is within themselves. But what about a person with an ungodly sexual relation with another person? Shacking, if you will, when the scripture tells us to what? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Very powerful note that my dear daughter from Florida, hallelujah unto you, you know, I salute you this morning. Evangelist Renee Norton Smith down in Tampa, she was saying, this is why men like to take women out to eat first to get you in the bedroom. Very powerful right there. You see that? Because, you know, truth be told, I was like that when I was in the world. I was always told to feed her. What it does, you know, as that person is feeding them, you're able to persuade them or charm them into the room. When you're eating, you feel that weight, and guess what? Just keep eating. Y'all see that? It creates that soul tie, and then that person can't resist, you know, even if they wanted to. Some women feel, okay, well, he fed me, now I owe him. No, the devil is a liar. You don't owe him nothing but a goodbye, thank you. You can walk me to my door, but you can't come in. No, as a matter of fact, I know who you are. You can stay in the car. I'm all right. Have a blessed night. Flee from fornication. That's what the word says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Paul is writing in his epistle to the church of Corinth or the congregation. He says this. He says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, says he, shall become one flesh. I like verse 15. It says, ye know ye not that your bodies are the members of the word? Then shall I then take the members of the word and make them the members of a harlot? Yah forbids it. Verse 18. No, 17. I like that one. He that is joined unto Yahuwah is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Why? Because you was bought with a price. Therefore, glory Yah in your body and your spirit, which are Yah's. You belong to him. Okay? I believe the Holy Ghost want me to stay on this for just one moment about this sexual negative soul ties. It destroys, it could be destructive to your soul. That's why many people, they try to have relationships, but they can't stay in. They can't be bonded to nobody else because their souls is fragmented. Soul ties, negative soul ties, it will prevent you from moving on to new, healthier relationships, even the ones that the Father is trying to lead you into. This can even happen in the situation, hallelujah, of a divorce. The divorce might be over, and there's a new marriage that you're trying to pursue, but that one spouse just keep going back to his or her ex-husband or ex-wife because their souls is still tied to the former spouse. James chapter 1, verse 8, it lets us know that a double-minded man is unstable in all, not some, in all his ways. So a double-minded person is one with a divided soul. There are times, come on now, let's be real this morning, you might be unstable at times or you'd be wanting to move on with your life, but you're stuck in that random moment. When I was getting delivered, I had this strong soul tie with a woman from Detroit, Michigan. I was with on and off for 8 years. It was strictly platonic. I was going through withdrawals. I mean, going to the bathroom, purging, and, you know, going tossing and turning. My spirit was yearning for her, but I knew that I couldn't, in order for me to do this work for the Lord, for me to be delivered, I had to get rid of it. Hallelujah. Good morning to Gregory Patriot, or Patriot Gregory. Good morning unto you, sir. Good morning. I just have to stop for one moment. The Father is trying to take me somewhere else with this sexual soul tie. Welcome to Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries. I'm your brother, the Obadiah, a humble servant of Yah. I am your brother, Renald Away. This morning, we are talking about soul ties, positive and negative ones. What is a soul tie? How can you get out of a negative soul tie? What is a healthy soul tie? It is not in the word, but we see many instances of a soul tie that's being connected. Somebody was asking me, I can't find the word soul tie in the scripture. No, you can't, but you see many instances of the soul tie. David and Jonathan is one. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, it talks about how they intertwine their souls together. Okay, that is a soul tie. It is a Yah-given soul tie. It was, hallelujah, it was ordained by Yah for them to intertwine like that. Not physically, okay? Homosexuals, once more, they try to justify homosexuality with that scripture, when they know full grown well that homosexuality is an abomination. Okay, so that could be a very that's probably the most negative sexual soul type that you can have is a homosexual one. You have to go through a lot of purging, a lot of deliverance. So when you're double-minded, you cannot experience what the Father wants you to experience in him. He wants you free of every sin of your past. That's why when you say, Father, I repent for all of my sins. I bring my sins unto you. He takes your sins and he throws them into the sea of forgiveness. The blood of Yahusha now covers you. It justifies you. Even the ones that you are willingly gave into over and over, but you still think about the Holy Ghost will take you away from that. It is, okay, let's talk about this. Deliverance is a process. Salvation is a process. Some of you might get over that particular soul tie just like that. But there's other times in which you cannot. It takes time. You're going to have to go through a fight for your salvation. You need people who are of Yah. You don't need another man with that same type of familiar spirit, negative. You need somebody who is connected to the Father to get you delivered out of that soul tie. There are certain things that you can do that will help you through this uncomfortable process of being broken free from this relationship. And you want to be free with Yah. We're going to talk about that later on. But I'm just talking about some type of, you know, some of these soul ties that you have or that you may have. You may have a soul tie. This is the third type of soul tie. The soul tie of having a commitment or a vow or a promise with somebody. I believe the scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter number 6, verse number 2. Trying to go slow here. Some people are taking some notes. Here it is. Proverbs 6, verse 2. It says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. You see that? That's the soul tie, based off of what you speak. People have to understand this. I mean, and people just don't get it when it comes to what words that come out of your mouth. They really don't understand the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18 and 21. It lets us know that what? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and that they love and shall eat the fruit thereof. It is power in your tongue. You've got to keep it subjective. You got to learn sometimes to bite that tongue. Because when you speak it, guess what? Now you have created a soul tie with that promise that you have did with that person. What does it tell us about the tongue? James chapter 3, or Yaakov chapter number 3. It tells you all about the tongue. It tells you it's a little member, but it boasts what? Great things. That tongue can start a fire. The scripture says it's a word of iniquity. It's a world of iniquity. It defiles your whole body. It will set you to hell. But the tongue, the scripture says in verse 8, can no man tame. The Holy Ghost can do that. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Out of the same mouth proceed of blessing and cursing. We are not to do both of these things. We are to speak blessings. Okay? So when you have vows and commitments and promises, when you tell somebody these type of statements, you know what? I'm never going to stop loving you. You know that, right? You have committed a soul tie then because you have made a commitment and a promise, especially if you're saying it in the name of Yah. Once you do that, there's the commitment, and that presents the soul tie. When people say, you know what? You're the only one that I love. Guess what? You've committed a soul tie. I can't get you out of my mind or out of my heart. It's just something about you. You have committed a soul tie. You're the only one I will give my love to. Uh-oh. What about giving love to the Father? You got some people who will, you know, these people will say, you know, no one will ever take your place in my life. Just imagine how much power that these words have. So if you are snared by the words, if you present a trap or plan, you're going to be trapped to that soul tie. And you're wondering why that person is pulling on to you and they're preventing you from going forth. Be careful of those type of soul ties. I have a question that came in, and I would like to keep this particular name, amen, because we want to, you know, this is for, you know, intentional purposes. I like to keep everything confidential. And she wants me to present this question onto the line this morning. What about when the wife is a woman of Yah and the husband isn't and has slept with multiple persons and yet has not been purified? Good question. Let's talk about that. Because the man who is sleeping with other women, he is receiving that aura. He's receiving that particular energies from those women. And guess what? If you're still having sex with that husband, guess what? All of those energies from that woman or women is going to enter into you. It is very crucial, especially for the woman. Watch this. Going back to that, I was talking to my daughter, one of my spiritual daughters, and it was pertaining to Pamela Greer. She's a famous actress. You've seen her in, you know, black exploitation movies and in Jackie Brown, whatever the case may be. Here it is. She's in a relationship with comedian Richard Pryor. Catch the revelation here. Here it is. She starts to feel sick one day. Her midsection is starting to hurt, and she's wondering what's going on. Maybe she feels at first that she's going through a very terrible menstrual cycle. And she says she was the type of woman that never had that type of cycle. Here it is. She goes to the doctor. First, she goes to her regular physician, and the doctor ran blood tests, and everything came back negative. He couldn't find anything. He gave her some, you know, some type of prescription, maybe just to help you with, you know, maybe you're going through some menstrual cramps or whatever. She goes home, and then it worsens. So she decides, I need to go to a gynecologist to see what's going on. They did the research. They took the tissues from her inner walls. It was trace positive with heroin and cocaine. Okay, you're probably asking the question this morning. How was that able to get inside of, within her? What happens is while intercourse is happening, there's secretion that's taking place. You're secreting. Your pores are open. Your portals are open because you're intertwining with one another. This is how the Father created it. All of the drugs that Richard Pryor was taking, it started to enter inside of her. She never took drugs. But it went inside of her that way, and it almost killed her. She had to sever that relationship. This is how serious, people, that sexual contact really is with when it comes to a soul tie, positive or negative. Yeah, you get that pleasure at that moment. But if you're doing it in a negative sense, guess what? You're right there sitting right there on the cliff of hell. And this is where all the diseases come about. Because you're doing things in the negative. I thank the Father. I never had a disease, an STD. I thank the Father for that. His hand was over my life. Hallelujah. So this is how serious it is, even in marriages. If you know that you know that your husband is creeping on you, going out with other women and having sex with them, that is not of Yah. You have to protect your own vessel. When it says, according to Paul, remember, Paul, what he writes is not scripture unless he says, for it is written. But it's very important for us to understand where Paul was coming from as far as writing to the congregation. Okay? So people always think that what Paul wrote was scripture. No, if he says, for it is written, now is scripture. He said what the Messiah told him, that's scripture. But when Paul writes, it is an epistle. There are instructions. Okay, people are always telling me that Paul wrote scripture. Wrong answer. No, he wrote epistles. He wrote instructions for us to go by. Here it is. He says in the scripture, yes, for the wives to obey their husbands and for the husbands to be submissive to their wives. Okay, you are to obey your husband as long as he is under alignment with the Father. If he's telling you to do things that are detrimental to your health spiritually, you are not to do these things. Just because you're married to a husband doesn't mean that all of a sudden you got to be weak-minded and just do what he tells you to do. No, the devil is a liar. You also have power and dominion. I'm not telling you to rebel against your husband, but I am telling you that you must stand up for Yah. He comes first in your life, no matter what. If you put your husband in front of Yah, guess what? You have made him your idol. That's what these soul ties does. That's what this soul tie, that's what we're talking about soul tie. We're going to do a part two tomorrow, okay? Let's keep it honest. We're going to do part two on tomorrow morning, if Yah is willing. Part two tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I just want to touch a little more basis on this. We're going to shut it short because I promise that we will have plenty of time for people to chime in. Those of you who are called in, you may press 1 on your telephone keypad if you have questions or concerns. Those of you who are online, you can call in at area code 347-884-8468. If we exceed 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if you'd like to continue to listen on to this relationships, these soul ties, you can call on in, and we're going to go ahead and continue, and we're going to go overboard just a little bit more. And if you want to listen to the archives, it is recorded, and you can go back into Talk, Teach, and Touch My Ministries through Facebook or through Blog Talk, and you can go ahead and listen to the archives. Okay, a couple of more notes. Getting back into the sexual soul tie, and I hope that you got the understanding about the vow and the commitment. That goes with the marriage. When you say, do you, Sister Jones, take Brother Hoo-Hoo to be your lawfully wedded husband? Soul tie. That's a vow. That's a commitment. A lot of people don't take their relationship or their marriage seriously. It is a commitment that you made unto the Father. Everybody thinks, oh, they just did it to that pastor. Wrong answer. He's a representation of the Father, being a witness to a union that was jointly together before the foundations of the heavens and the earth. And people feel that they can go and be like Elizabeth Taylor, being 6 or 7 marriages. Why do you think her life was like the way that it was? Okay, so to answer your question, when he's sleeping around with multiple people and he's not being purified, you must keep your body purified. You have to reject. He has to go. He needs deliverance because there's a negative soul tie or soul ties that are connected to him. Okay? So you cannot, even when you're laying in bed, guess what? Yes. What did Paul say? Paul says that the marriage bed should be what? Undefiled. Let's talk about that for a moment because a lot of preachers, they get the wrong misconception. Undefiled, that it means it should not be defiled. What is defiled? Let's break that down. Something that is defiled. It's something that is spoiled. Something that is degraded. So if you have a Nashua Twas in your marriage bed, you have defiled. The marriage bed should be left undefiled. Defiled means to make filthy or dirty. You polluted. You bringing sewage into your bedroom. It should be undefiled. Period. That particular individual with those soul ties, he's sleeping with multiple people. You need to either be sleeping on the couch or he needs to be sleeping on the couch. You need to be in your bed. Because the spirits intertwine as you're asleep. And then you're wondering why you're being attacked by the incubus or succubus spirits while you're laying there. That's why the Holy Ghost had me to talk about that first. That's why these spirits are, you know, while you're asleep. These are the things that's happening within you. And you're thinking in the morning, hey, wait a minute, I just got attacked. It could have been my husband. No, it was him, the spirits that's attached onto him. Hey, I got to tell the truth and shame the devil. I got to teach righteousness. That's why you can't get rest. That's why you toss and turn. Because those spirits are they're poking at you. You have to get up and go into prayer and fight whatever it is, the incubus spirits that you can't sleep at all. You're in prayer. You got to go into prayer. You might have to go into fasting. You have to go into consecration. That person should not be allowed to touch you. You got a lot of people. Watch this. And we're going to go into line. A lot of people in the ministry. Because everybody want to talk about the sheep. Let's talk about the leaders. You got these leaders having Nashua Twas in their bedrooms saying it's healthy. No, that's a wrong answer. Especially if you got a witch in your bed with you. That witch will control the both of you. I don't know. That's for somebody this morning. I don't know where I'm just following where the Holy Ghost is taking me this morning. So that must be condemned. You got to get rid of that. Throw that bed away. You might have to throw the bed away. That's how it is with me. You might have to just get rid of that whole bed. The mattress, spirits, come on now. Spirits are transferable. The secretion that's inside of that mattress. Oh, just change the covers. Come on now. Cut it out. It goes beyond that. You can be spiritually molested. You can be spiritually raped in your sleep. This is how deep the spirit realm is, people. I'm crying out this morning. It is that serious. We got to take into full consideration. Ephesians chapter number 6. When you have on your full armor. This is why you have to put it on. It says, verse number 12, for we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's what we're talking about this whole time. Because you're fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against the spiritual wickedness that is where in high places, places you can't reach. I guess places you think that you can fight in your flesh that you can't. So you have to armor up. Thank you, my dear daughter. Armor up. You need to be prayed up, worded up, fasted up, consecrated up. You got to be ready. This war is not, everybody talk about, 2014, my year. Yeah, this your year to get suited up. You need to be trained in spiritual warfare. All these pastors, they want to preach a good word and give you tithes. They want you to give up tithes and offerings, but they're not feeding you properly. Here I am. I'm bringing forth the word of truth, and I feel neglected. Because you got many people who are not teaching you this sound doctrine. But you want to look at me and just send me 50 cents. It don't work like that. If I render unto you spiritual things that will help you in your walk with the Messiah. Isn't it a good thing if you render unto me cardinal things? You have to give the true apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers what's due to them. they are to receive, those prophets who are true in Yah, they are to receive a prophet's reward. I don't know where the Holy Ghost taking me this morning, but you have teachers who are teaching you the truth. And you take this, a lot of these people are taking our word for granted. This is the word of the Lord. This is not my word. This is for his glory. This is for his kingdom. I don't have no glory to put you in. We have to do things with decency and in order. Women that's out, women of virtue this morning that's listening unto me. I feel in the spirit the majority of you that's listening are women. Walk in your queendom. Secure your souls. Put a chastity belt, a spiritual one, around your torso area. You can't let any man come in unto you. Protect your salvation. You must protect it. This is no plaything. People are dying. It's going to get worse because we are in those end times. It's going to get worse. You got these brothers on the DL carrying these type of spirits, homosexual spirits. And they tell you, oh, I love the Lord. You better, huh? You better read the red flags. You better see the signs. Stop ignoring them, talking about something. He looked good and he could preach that word. You better check his fruit. You need to start inspecting other people's fruit. Have them, have your apostle check their fruit. Have your leader check their mouth. If you are unsure. This is the year of deliverance. This is the year of the spiritual decision. You must make a decision as to who you're ultimately making soul ties with. Am I going to be connected to those things of Yah? Or I'm going to be connected to those things of darkness? Because you can't dwell in both. You must be connected with Yah in the things that are of his. You must hate the things that Yah hates. Stop babysitting these people who live in darkness. You can't be connected. You can't be yoked with unbelievers. That's my other thing that I want to say as far as soul ties. You can't be yoked with unbelievers. Stop trying to hang with them. Guess what? Then that soul tie, now you smoking weed and everything else because you're connected with the wrong things. You must be connected with the holy consecrated things of the Most High because you are supposed to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service unto him. Stop trying to stay connected to these sinful natures and these lusts. Oh, this is just the way that he created me. Cut it out. No more excuses. It's about excellence. No more excuses. You know what's right. You know that the word that comes forth from the Yah, if it cuts you, you know it applies to your life. If it's stirred up in your spirit, you know that is for you. The word of Yah is a double-edged sword. It's double-edged because it cuts the ones who receive it and the one who gives it. Ah, holy to your name. So anyone this morning who would like to groho shandik, anybody the graha shandik hey, the groho dada hey, the graha shandik hey. Ooh, glory to your name. Tara rabba, grehe shandalaha. Anyone that would like to speak this morning, groho shandik hey, graha lalaha. Hallelujah, groho shandalaha. Somebody being graha shandik hey, graha shandalaha. Yasha groho shandik hey, de graha shandalaha, de graha shandalaha. Yasha groho shandehe, tashuva groho shandehe de graha. Ali tav grehe shandalahe de graha shandalahe de graha. Anyone that would like to speak groho shandehe on this line this morning, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad this morning. I would like to hear from you this morning. Let's be open. Let's be transparent. Amen. You have to be transparent. my soul is being edified this morning. Whew. My soul is being edified this morning. Let's talk about marriage. When you saw the marriage of King Ahab and Jezebel, they got married. Guess what? Elijah still was telling King Ahab to get rid of Jezebel. He still was telling him repeatedly, it's in your word. He didn't take heed to that. So there are signs, warning signs to let you know. Now, like I said, when Paul wrote, let's go to what Paul talked about when it talks about marriage. When it talks about the saved and the unsaved. We're going to tap into that and then we're going to open up the lines. Because I feel somebody still wants me to talk in relation with this particular topic. First Corinthians chapter 7, the whole chapter, talks about this situation. It says, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let me read that again, because I don't see nothing plural right there. When you are having intercourse with people outside of your wife, you are having wives. Bigotry. Sorry. When you come in unto somebody, you have married their soul tie. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, it doesn't say let every man have his own wives. Let every man have his own wife. One. Singular. And let every woman have her own husband. Singular. Let the husband render unto the wife due deference, and likewise unsold the wife unto the husband. The wife have not power of her own body, but the husband. Now remember, like I stated, this comes from Paul. This does not come from the Lord. He was led by the Holy Ghost, but this is not scripture. Like I said, it is just an epistle. This is not scripture. But it's something that we need to take heed to. The wife have that power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband, have that power of his own body, but the wife. So if the husband is out there cheating, you do not have power over him. We just read that in the word. You got to have power over each other. And we're talking about the power of Yah. Defraud ye not the other. Oh, I love that. Defraud ye not the other. Don't try to deceive one another. It says, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may be giving yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that hey, Satan, tempt you not for your inconsistency. It says, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. All right, y'all see that? You get that. Verse 6, read that. He says, I speak this by permission and not of commandment. So you can't go up here. You can't get on here trying to tell me, oh, guess what? This is a commandment. Wrong. Stop trying to lie. He says, Paul says he's speaking by permission of the Holy Ghost and not of commandment. Let's continue. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man have his proper gift of Yah, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widowed, it is good for them if they abide even as I. Paul was particularly saying, by permission and not by commandment, that you should be like me. Stay unmarried. If they cannot contain, let them marry. It is better for them to marry than to burn. Okay, let's talk about the believing and the unbeliever. Let's go to that. Let's skip down to verse number 13. And the woman which has a husband that believeth not, okay, so this is telling me, if a believer in Yah, if you a woman, if you a believer, But your husband does not believe, because obviously he's out sinning and he's out doing what he's doing. And people be saying, well, based off the blood, I can still sin and be saved and sanctified. Wrong answer. You can cut that out too, because Yah forbids. If a woman who is saved has a husband that is an unbeliever, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. Uh-oh. Y'all see that right there? You're reading from the word of Paul? This is not my commandment. The unbelieving husband, he is sanctified by the wife. It's going to be some type of way because of the soul type that you have in the marriage. He will eventually become saved. But if he does not become saved, if he stays as an unbeliever, if he wants to depart, let him depart from you. Hallelujah. Good morning to my other student in Yah. Good morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to go. Hallelujah. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper with this thing. If you are an unbeliever and you married a person that's a believer, the Holy Ghost, because of the union that you two have, you should be able to progress in the spirit realm as well. You should have the fruit of your mate. The woman, oh, this is good, because this is in this one of the 66 books that we're reading called the Holy Bible. It says that what? It says that the woman is the glory of the man. That's 1 Corinthians 11 and 7. We have to look and see, we got to see what marriage really is. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. We're talking about the divine order. Yah, man, woman, children. That's the divine order. You got in some marriages, you got Yah, female, male. That's the Jezebelic relationship. That's the Jezebelic marriage. Some of you got husband, Yah, wife, children. Nope, that's an idolized relationship. It must be Yah, man, woman, child. That's the divine order of the kingdom. Okay. Now you're saying, okay, Brother Wade, the house is going to be divided, right? Because here I am, I'm a believer, and he's an unbeliever. Let's say, for instance, both of you were unbelievers, okay? Because somebody's going to ask me this question. I feel it in the spirit realm. Let's say, look, I was in the world. We got married. We were both in the world. But guess what? I got saved first. Guess what? If the Father did it for you, he's going to do it for your mate. But you must keep yourself consecrated because you're a new creature now. And people are probably going to say, now, wait a minute. Now, I can't please my spouse. You're trying to interrupt my marriage. Well, I mean, it's already interrupted because he's an unbeliever. And if he's going out fornicating with other women, he's marrying other women. Everybody think marriage is just a marriage certificate. We're married. We married now. Wrong answer. You're married when you come in unto people. Read Genesis when it tells you that when Rebekah saw Isaac and no man had touched her or knew her, and she hopped off of her camel and she ran into the tent and met, she ran unto Isaac. Isaac ran into her and they went in the tent and he went in unto her. They didn't have no marriage ceremony. That ceremony was in that tent. We have to be careful. What the truth does is going to separate holy from unholy. You got one parent who's saved, the other one smoking, drinking, gambling, fornicating, staying out late nights, not going to services with you, watching pornography, watching all kinds of stuff on television. It causes a division in the house. Now, guess what? Your children is looking at you like, okay, should we be saved or should we be unsaved? Oh, wow. I can go to church on Sunday or on the Shabbat, but I can live a sinful life Monday through Friday. It confuses the children, and the father is not the author of confusion. This is not what Paul is trying to do. He's not trying to confuse us because he's operating under the unction of the Holy Ghost. The soul tie, if you're so consecrated and holy inside of Yah, he can pray for your husband, pray for your wife, deliver him, deliver her. Start fasting for your mate. If you love him like you say you do, consecrate yourself. People always want to fast for the father, fast for your husband, fast for your relationship and for your marriage to work. If he's just so committed to doing sin, he's committing adultery. Adultery is putting anything above you. Everybody think that adultery is just sex. When Shiriel committed adultery to the Most High Yah, did they commit sex? Was it just sex? No, they worship other gods. They threw his Torah to the side. They didn't want to live holy. That's adultery, people. When they put something above you, gambling, drinking, smoking. They spending more money on lottery tickets than taking care of their family. They going out to Las Vegas gambling. That's adultery because you're taking out of the mouth of the people in the house. The first ministry is not the church. Cut it out. It is the household. The house. The marriage is the first ministry. Don't let nobody tell you that the first ministry is the church. Wrong answer. It was two people, Adam and Eve. That was the first ministry, the ministry of marriage. Hallelujah. Let's open up the lines. Hallelujah. Let's go to it. Good morning. Hallelujah. You just have to please excuse me. We're going to have a part two. And we're going to probably have like, we need a lot more time to do the open forum because this is something very important that people need to know. Those of you who are listening from internet land, you can call in at area code 347-884-8468 for the continue because I know we're going to go overboard. We have about 15 more minutes and then we're going to be on the line for another 15 to 20 minutes. Hallelujah. Area code 864-642. You are calling from South Carolina. Hallelujah. Brockatoff, good morning.
Good morning, Apostle. Enjoying your teaching. You answered my question as you kept speaking, but you already answered my question. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm finished.
Hallelujah. I love you. Thank you so much. I thank the Father that I was able, by operating in the Holy Ghost, I was able to answer your question. Hallelujah. Because, see, people, when they read, like I said, when they read the words of Paul, yes, they were holy words, but they're not scripture. You see what I'm saying? We read in the scripture, he said, I wrote this by permission and not by commandment. You see? So, you know, we have to be able to be led by the Holy Ghost in order to receive the revelation, you know, of his word. Amen. So, you know, I thank the Father that I was used to answer your question. If you have any questions, you know, any more, we're going to have part two. okay, on tomorrow morning. And I promise that I will probably at least have an hour and a half for people to answer their questions or to ask them. Have a blessed morning. I love you. Thank you so much for coming on the air. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Love you too, Pastor.
Okay. Hallelujah. Shalom. It is okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All righty. Okay, area code 404-484. I will keep your name private. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? This is Apostle Elette Campbell from Georgia.
All right. Good morning. I am blessed. Hallelujah.
I just have a question. Okay, you said that the epistles that was written by Paul, that was
right.
just for instructions for the church, correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay, so when you bring something to your leader or a spiritual covering and you tell them, well, the Lord said this person can be released, or whatever, they'll say, no, you're not supposed to leave your husband or your wife because the Bible says such and such. You know what I mean? And I said, true, but see, when I present something to some leaders or whatever, they always come back with the epistles, not the scripture. But what
That's right.
It doesn't agree with what the Holy Ghost reveals to me and tells me to do. So the division is created between the shepherd and the sheep, because the shepherd feels like they know everything, like if the sheep are not in a position to hear from the Lord themselves or have the revelation of the scriptures just like them. Somebody's off.
That's right.
Understand what I'm saying?
Okay, watch this. Okay, now I said, right, that the things that Paul write were epistles, right, or letters.
Right.
They were not scripture, because he did not say, for the Lord said. He didn't say that. Now watch
this.
Now let's look and see what the word said. Let's see what the Messiah said.
Okay.
Remember, he said, if you follow me, and if you leave your wife, if you leave your husband, come and follow me, that you inherit the kingdom. See, that's the word that said that.
Yes, yes, the word says that.
That's right. That's the son of the true and living Yah that said that. He said, if you leave them, look at this. Remember Peter? Peter was married, huh?
Yes, yes.
He left his wife, right?
Yes, he did.
Come on now.
Yes,
huh?
Yes, he did. Yes.
He left his wife to follow the Messiah.
That's why he said in Matthew, if you can't leave your father or mother, your brother, your sons, your daughters, he said if you can't leave them to follow after him, you're not worthy to be his disciple. You have to be able to leave.
Talk to me. There it is.
Okay.
Right there.
Okay.
There,
see, there it is.
Right.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. Because you know what? It's like I'm getting the revelation that a lot of these leaders, do they even know who's speaking? When he's saying Lord, who are they thinking it is speaking?
Wow.
Who are they thinking is speaking this? Do they think it's Yah, or do they think it's Yahusha or you know what I mean, or Jesus?
Yeah.
Who are they putting that in reference to?
Now watch this. Let's classify what an unbeliever is. I love how you asked me that over in over the sidebar. Here it is.
Yeah.
Now watch this. Now let's keep this 100, because people are probably saying, "Wait a minute, I believe in the Lord, but the demons believe in the Lord too. They know who He is. And they tremble, right? What is a true unbeliever? He's an unbeliever will not keep the Torah. Unbeliever won't do the commandments of Yah.
Right.
Unbeliever will fight the truth. Unbeliever will not love his brother or his sister.
Okay.
Unbeliever would not be trying to have congregation with saints and hang with ain'ts.
Okay.
Unbeliever can't be yoked with believers. Here it is.
Okay.
Remember, Paul even wrote, he said, can Jesus be connected to what? Baal? No. Light cannot intertwine with darkness. It would never happen. Why? Because it goes back to the beginning. The Father separated the light from the dark.
Right, he did. Yes, he did.
From the very beginning. So here it is. And then watch this. Okay. There's light in heaven where he resides. He kicked darkness out. He kicked Satan and a third of his angels out of heaven.
Yes,
so darkness
yes,
can't
did.
Dwell. It can't dwell in light.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to be in this world, but not of this world.
Whew. Yes. Yes.
And the word told us that. The word.
Okay.
The word. Remember, the word said in John chapter 17, he said, I pray for those who you sent to me, but not of this world. He did not pray for the world.
No, he didn't. He prayed for his that belonged to him.
He prayed for his who belonged to him, who came to him, who came and followed him.
Yes. Let's make it plain, because everybody thinks, everybody in the world thinks they can just do whatever, and because Yahusha says he prayed for the world. They get that twisted because they don't know the revelation. They don't have it. You have to be in him to know him. And if you're not in him, meaning that you're not spending his time in his presence, worshiping, fasting, praying before him to get to know him, studying the word, how can you know him and know his revelation if you're not doing any of these practices?
That's right. That's right. Good question. You know what I mean? So that's why you're already divided. You know, people say, well, if I shut down, then I'm going to divide the house. No. It's already divided.
You see what I'm saying?
It's already divided.
Yeah.
Why? Because of the sword. He said, I come not to bring peace on earth, but I come with a sword.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You see?
So to separate the wheat from the tares.
That's it. That is exactly it. That is exactly
it. So you could be married to a tare. And just because he or she go to the temple or you two go to church together, it doesn't mean that he is eating what's being preached of the word of God. It's just that he's there.
It goes back with the inspection of the fruits of the Spirit. That's why it is written, and this is in Scripture. Paul didn't write it. It's written in Scripture to test the spirits by the Spirit.
You got to check
it out, because your salvation is so important for everlasting life. It is so it's so crucial.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
All righty.
If a man or a woman, and we're talking about married people.
Okay.
If they started off being on one accord, but one of them turned and went back into the world, and then Yah gives them a chance to repent and come clean, and they still refuse, but they're still going to the church every week after week after week, but not changing and rebelling. Is that person considered an unbeliever because they're not applying anything that the Lord is saying do?
Now we got to keep in mind that when you're going through your process, because we all know it's a process. Somebody was telling me earlier that salvation is an eternal type of event. Now if you into salvation, it should be some works that need to be happening. It should be some type of fruit. So if this person, because you got a lot of people that's wearing fig leaves, they hide behind the word, and you can't judge me, and look, I'm coming in.
Yeah. Once saved, I'm always saved. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. You know, you might be saved, but you're not delivered. You still got to come into deliverance. That's the Yasha. That's the deliverance. You know, that must take place. So, okay, to answer your question, I'm glad that you said that, because you have people who have been turned over to a reprobate mind who still come to church. Come on, man.
Okay.
They turned over. Ain't nothing that you can do. Only the Father can deal with that. You can't do all the prayer and all you want, but once they turned over by the Most High, you can't do nothing about it.
Okay, there it is. Okay.
Yep, ain't nothing you can do about it. That process is going to have to be done by the Father.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
That's good stuff you're teaching.
Hallelujah. Yep, just the truth. I can't preach nothing if I don't know it, if I haven't experienced it.
I heard the shift in you. The Holy Ghost, he's speaking this morning. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I love you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I love you too. Shabbat shalom. Thanks.
Shabbat shalom. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Good stuff from Apostle Campbell. Good questions right there. Before I continue, we got about 5 minutes for those who are listening from the internet. You can continue to listen You know, if you call in at area code 347-884-8468, I will be on for part two. I'm on tomorrow. I think this is probably going to be a part two and part three, you know, because a lot of people do have questions. Amen. So if Yah is willing, I will be on the air tomorrow. All right, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. Those of you who are on the West Coast, like my daughter, sorry, you're going to have to wake up at 6 in the morning. Hallelujah. My brother Leon McCarter, praise John to you. Good morning. You know that your sister is already telling on you. Here's another question that came in before I go ahead and open up some more lines. I see my dear sister Simone. She wants to come on and speak. The question is, can you divorce because of adultery? Let's go to the word. Now, the word of Yah, he talked about this himself. When you put away your husband or your wife, those are causes for adultery. Okay, Mark chapter 10, the Gospel of Marcus chapter 10. It says verse 6, from the beginning, from the Barashit of the creation, Yahuwah had made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and husband and cleave to his wife. That's one of the problems right now, is that you see in marriages that the husband, he's married to his wife but still clinging on to his mama. He's mama's little boy. No, you got to cut him. You got to cut your parents off, and you're starting a new family because you are one flesh. It says, but they twine shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twine but one flesh. Hallelujah. Somebody screaming hallelujah over here. Here it is. It says, what therefore Yah has joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house, his disciples asked him again of the matter. And the word said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if a woman put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. That is adultery. What is adultery? Everybody think that adultery is just consisting of sex, of a sexual cheat. Now, watch this. Now, when the nation of Yashariel, the holy land of Yashariel, committed adultery against Yah, were they having just sex with, against him? No, they did other things. They rebelled against Yah. They had idol images against Yah. They didn't keep the Torah. When you don't keep the Torah, you are committing adultery. Same thing with a marriage. If your husband cheating on you with weed, if he's cheating on you with drugs or alcohol, if he's cheating on you with gambling, if he's cheating on you, watch this, with the church, if you're paying more attention to the church than unto that person, then that's adultery. Because you're putting other things in front of your spouse. Of course, you're supposed to keep the father first. That's not adultery. This is the divine order. When you're putting other individuals or other things in front of that person, that's adultery. I hope that I made myself clear. And the person was telling me on here, adultery is only sexual related. You are wrong. Because the nation of Yashariel, it was just not sex that committed adultery against the Lord. Come on now. You can go by the way of the world. When you put other things, when you put your job in front of your wife, that's adultery. You're putting something else in front of her. Why do you think she want to leave you? Why do you think they want to leave you? Because you love your car. You love your car more than your wife. That's adultery. When you gamble, when you taking food out of a person's mouth, out of your family and your children's mouth, that's adultery. Come on now. You got to look at this thing in the spirit realm. They committed adultery toward the Most High. You know the word, sir. It is in the word. It says they committed idolatry and adultery. And you can't have sex with Yah. So what does that mean? Anytime you put something in front of that person, it is idolatry and it is adultery. You are not to put anything else before your spouse except the Most High. It says it right there in the Word. The Messiah says if a woman put away her husband and be married to another, she has committed adultery. That is not me. That is the Word of Yah. The Messiah said that. Not my opinion. Everybody been telling me as of late, it is my opinion. No. It is the Word of Yah. Nah. Mm-mm. When you are doing activities outside of your marriage and you put away your husband or your wife, the Messiah, let's read it again. The Word said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman put away her husband and be married, that means you're having intercourse with somebody else. You're doing something with someone else or something. Pornography. Because you're marrying somebody when you're doing spiritual sexual perversion as well. That is adultery. Hallelujah. That's adultery. Now, if you forgive that person, you have to clean that slate is clean. You can't throw that up against them if you forgive them. But we read in the Word right there. It is His Word right there. You marry another. You put away that wife. That's committing adultery. Hallelujah. Let's go to the lines. Hallelujah. Someone was trying to tell me what adultery was. We got to look at this thing in the spirit realm. Because you was not, when you are in one with the Father, there's a marriage. But when you disconnect from the Father, that's adultery. Because you selected to pick the enemy over him. You put him away and then you bring money or you bring anything else in front of him. That's adultery. Hallelujah. Area code 216-848. My dear sister, you're on the line. Shalom.
Hi, good afternoon. You answered one of my questions you just answered a few minutes ago. Now, my second part is, and maybe I missed it because I had to take my daughter to finals, but I'm recently divorced as of September last year, and for all the things you just named is what I was going through for 23 years.
Oh, my God.
And it took me a long time to get out because of I was listening to, you know, people in church telling me, oh, you stick with him, you just keep praying. But God was showing me something different.
Yes.
God was telling me something different, but yet I was holding on. And it took one of my friends, and he came to me and he said, Simone, well, you know, what are you holding on to? And it wasn't until he put the icing on the cake by having a child within our marriage. Now, this baby's about maybe, the baby just turned two. It's going on three as of March. It would be three.
Okay.
So that was the camel that broke the straw's back, if I can put it that way to you.
Yes.
So with that said, all those years that we were together, you know, whether he was in, out, or however, doesn't his negativity and what I was trying to hold on to come back on me and like our children? You understand? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
It was connected to you as long as you was connected with him. Now, if you divorced him and you have been purged of all of that, because that's a strong soul tie, because y'all were together for years. We talking about over two decades of soul ties. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you have to be purged and you have to be delivered from that soul tie. All that stuff that he brought into it, because he brought perversion. He had brought greed because he wasn't satisfied with just you. Otherwise, he wouldn't have went out and did that. That's greed. That was selfishness. All of these are soul ties that he had brought in. And then not only, like you said, it is brought unto you, but it was brought unto your children. So you have to go into, you know, consecration so that all of those ties are eliminated. You know, just continue to pray unto the Father. Just keep asking him, Father, eliminate these soul ties. Make it a daily thing to pray unto the Father, you know, to eliminate those soul ties. That don't mean that you're forever connected to that, because the devil is alive. You're not forever, because of the blood, because of, you know, the sanctification that's going to be happening in your life. It will sever from you. You can bind up and you can destroy, not kill it, but destroy these ties. And let the Father take these ties off of you. Let the Holy Ghost work within you. Because some people want to hold on to some of these soul ties. And you have to let it go. And once you let it go and say, you know what? I'm a new creature. All things have come to pass. All things have become new. Now, guess what? Those things of old, they don't pertain to you anymore. You are divorced. Now, watch this. Somebody might say, okay, the person that committed adultery, can they remarry? The person that committed cannot, but the person that was the victim can. I just wanted to get that out in the open, you know. So he's not able to marry. He probably did it, and he's out of the will of Yah. But the person who is the victim of the adultery, they can remarry.
Okay.
So, you know, so that is in Scripture as well. Okay, go ahead.
And I noticed that, you know, since I've been divorced as of September of last year, I don't have, I do notice a shift or a change. And I noticed that even when he was still trying to come back as strong as he was into our lives again, things would happen. For example, like we had cell phones that were connected together. Now they're no longer connected together because whatever his situation is where he's at, we ended up losing the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like always something always happens where he can't reconnect with us anymore, if that makes sense. So that's when I realized that I was on the right path, and in divorcing and doing what I was, you know, was told to do, was I was doing the right thing.
Right, right.
But it took me that long to figure that out. And so sometimes I feel like I've wasted so much time. But it really wasn't a waste of time. It was just helping me to grow into where I needed to be.
Hallelujah. Wow.
So I just wanted to be sure, you know, just because I say you answered one, and a lot of people always think it's sex. Sometimes it don't even have to do anything to do with sex at all.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of people, see, the world wants you to just think that it's just the natural. But, you know, that's why when you're not of this world, you start to see things in the spirit realm. So it's spiritual. It's supernatural. You know what I mean?
And it can even be their behaviors. It could be the way they act towards you or the family. You know, like around the holidays, you know, I noticed that he used to get really angry and upset. And he valued his life according to, you know, what job he had and how much money he was making. That's all he was concerned about. And as long as he brought the money in, we should just be quiet or shut our mouths.
And no. Like I said, see, according to tradition and religion, and that's what tradition does. Tradition, it is tearing down, you know, tradition and religion, it tears down marriages. Watch this. Now, let's go, okay, now when Paul wrote, when he said for the women to be silent, okay, now watch this. Watch this. The reason why he said for the women to be silent is only because the women at that particular time, because we got to think about the time period that when he wrote this, at that particular time, the women would ask their husbands, or they would ask the men, because they were undereducated. You know, the men were more educated than the women at that time, but they were pastors. Right, the first congregation were inside of homes, so the women were the pastors because they received them and they nurtured them, they fed them, so they were the first pastors. So here it is, the reason why the women were not allowed to speak was because they were interrupting the teachings of the sound doctrine. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to preach. It doesn't mean that you're the that you're just weak. No, you're the weaker vessel. But you're not weak. That's not what weaker vessel means. Weaker vessel means, plain and simply, with you coming out of the man, okay, that you are to what? That you are to submit and obey that husband. That doesn't make you weak. You still got to have your own mind. There, in a marriage, you got to have two. So that tells me in a covenant, if you have two, I have my mind, you have your mind. My color, my favorite color is different from your color. You see what I'm saying? My yeah. favorite car might be different from your favorite car. You still got to have, you have a oneness, but still you have to have your own mindset. You see what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. my point is this. It's that, you know, no, you're not to be quiet. You must speak your mind. A lot of women, they are in abusive relationships in the spirit realm because their husbands are running a Pharaoh type of mentality. They have a Pharaoh spirit over them. They keep you bounded. You can't say nothing. You can't do nothing. You ain't no prophet. Shut your mouth. You are not an apostle. Shut up. They will impede on your ministry. You have some men. I was talking to someone yesterday. Their husband is trying to prevent them from being a prophet. No, the enemy is a liar. The father will separate that marriage first in order for his word to come forth.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So that's what we talk about, unequally yoked. That's why you cannot have unequally yoked soul ties, because there's going to be conflict, because you're going one way in Yah and that person going in another way with the enemy. And that creates friction. There's going to be conflict. Children are watching. When a person is a work of iniquity, they're going to go upside your head. They're going to get physical because it starts, first of all, spiritual. Then it becomes natural. And then that person needs to be healed from some type of hurt or soul tie that he or she has went through. And that's why they're doing the abuse. A lot of us are going, you know, a lot of us have went through church hurt. And that's why a lot of want to rebel and say, I don't got to go to church. I ain't got to go sit up under nobody. I'm under Jesus. Okay, well, Jesus is not sitting with you. He's sitting at the right hand of the Most High. But the Holy Ghost should be in you, and you should be able to fellowship with other people who also have the mindset in the Holy Ghost. They got to have the mindset of the Messiah. You see, so I hope that I answered your question, and you know, I will continue to pray for you for your healing and your restoration, and you are already healed. By his stripes, you are already healed. I'm claiming that. So you
yeah.
will be healed, and you will be stripped. Your boldness and your confidence will come back unto you, because that's one of the things I see in the spirit, that he stole from you.
Yeah, and that's true. It did a lot of the confidence and sometimes, I mean, he used to rant and rave so bad that we wouldn't say anything. And mm-hmm. you know it's bad when they get to the point where you and your children are happy that he don't even come in anymore.
That's right.
To home anymore.
The darkness have left. Watch this. If you have a husband and wife, right, and let's say yeah. me and you, I'm hypothetically speaking, me and you are married,
yeah.
okay? And here it is. I'm mad at you. You mad at me. What happens is, when the children come into the house, who they going to gravitate to, me or you?
Me, mom.
They're going to gravitate to mom, right.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about dad.
Right.
Because the woman is the glory of the man. You see what I mean? So when the man leaves and he takes all of that, you know, all of that, now the atmosphere is clear, you know, and you have to continue to pray that the atmosphere stay that way.
And it could be the opposite as well, because I have a friend that I'm going, he's going through the same similar situation I just, God has delivered me from, and
mm-hmm.
but it's his wife. And that's why I tell people it's not necessarily because she's cheated or whatever, it's her behaviors, it's her attitude towards her husband and her children.
She has
and so now his kids, yeah, mm-hmm. now his kids gravitate, even the one that's not his, that he takes care of, through their marriage,
mm-hmm.
Gravitates towards him, because it's like the spirit is different than hers.
Right.
So I think
right,
it's vice versa as well, because I see it vice versa from what I was going through.
Right, right. And that's
so
what it is that, you know, they gravitate, you know, children gravitate to the things of the light. Because they still in
right.
their purity stage, you know what I'm saying? They innocent.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So they're going to gravitate because they really haven't received any attacks or anything of that nature, you know, too much in the spirit realm walking upon earth, you know, so we have to, you know, that's why we need healthy relationships and marriages, because the children are watching. And guess what? I mean, I really feel with a lot of women, you know, being raised in single family homes, You know, that's why they seek a husband who's a father figure, because they never had that male commanding voice in their lives. You see what I'm saying? So go ahead.
And see, me, I was told the opposite, I guess, because I never really wanted to marry anybody like my father. And, you know, and talking to my father, you know, yes, I do, you know, help him in things of his nature. But I made it very clear because I saw what he used to do to our mom when she was alive. And so, and look what I did. I ended up marrying somebody. I don't know if he was worse or whatever, because my mom hid a lot of things from us too. But if they weren't similar, I don't know what it was. And only because I went out of the realm of God and not just being, you know, I wasn't patient enough, I wasn't prayerful enough, you know. But I noticed that my kid's father's trying to come back, but I won't allow him to come back. And I know he's coming back because I can feel him trying to come back. Mm-hmm. I can feel him doing certain things trying to come back, and I'm not entertaining him at all. And he's getting angry at me, literally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I can't do this.
Right, the enemy,
23 years.
Right, the enemy, yeah, he's going to shut you out because, you know, look, I'm trying to get back in. I'm trying to destroy the household. So, you know,
But let him tell it. I was the angel and he was the demon.
Well, the enemy tells that. The enemy, in the Word, it tells us that they called the Messiah, you know, Jezebel. You see what I'm saying? So they even called him the devil. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you just can't pay attention to that. And I would love to continue the conversation. I'm going to call you later on today as promised, because we're going to go ahead and run out of time, and I don't want it to cut off on you. So, you know, me and you, we're going to continue to talk later on today. So I love you, and we'll talk later.
Okay.
Okay, love you. I'm sorry for to cut you off.
That's okay. It's okay.
All right. Okay, shalom, hallelujah. All righty, this morning I pray that each and every one of you that listen by divine appointment, we have learned a lot, a lot of meat today. You know, I haven't even got to the main course. So, you know, we'll be back on tomorrow morning, if Yah is willing, part two of the soul tie. I will push the reprobate mind teaching. I will push that up as soon as we're done with the soul ties. We're going to have a longer form. I'm going to touch a couple of more on some other soul ties, and then we're going to open up the lines so that we can have more talk. I did not know that we was going to get this deep into it, but we will have more time for you to ask your questions and to answer them. Hallelujah. So I love you and spirit and in truth. There's nothing that you can do about it except for you to do one thing. That is for you to love me back, because Yah is love. Those that worship Yah must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you are in the Georgia area, in the Atlanta, Georgia area and surrounding areas, this evening I will be at the Divine Believers of Faith ministry with Apostle Mark Kindred in College Park, Georgia. I will be there this evening to do a leadership teaching over there this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm just thanking the Father so much for what he is doing in the spirit. We're seeing more clarity. Amen. So be it. We're seeing more, if you will, more revelation as to what the word is really about. And you can see a lot of people in soul ties, they are bounded up because a lot of times the church have a wrong perception of the word. We got to go with the word, and we got to go, you know, yeah, we listen to what Apostle Paul says, but he wrote by permission and not by commandment. Hallelujah. He did not say, for it is written. He did not say that the Lord said it. That was his perspective in the spirit realm as to what we should do. Alrighty. So may Yah bless you and keep you. I will speak with you tomorrow morning. Have your questions ready. If you have any questions about soul ties or your relationship or someone else that's going through something, we will keep this all confidential. We're going to protect their names. We're going to keep their names revealed, unrevealed, so that we can protect the innocent. And we're going to answer them as honestly and in the word as possible. All right. Shalom, shalom, everyone. I love you. Have a blessed morning. And if you have a smile and somebody doesn't have one, give them a smile and let them know that Yah loves them and that you love them. Have a blessed morning, everybody. Shalom, shalom.